17. I'm so glad for all of you to be here tonight, and I want to say this real quick. All of you are invited to be here Sunday morning. Sunday is Easter Sunday. The truth is, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every single week. That's why we worship on the first day of the week, the day that they came and found the tomb empty. Jesus had died for our sins, was buried, and for 3 days and nights he was in the tomb, but on that third day he rose again. And so we worship him every Sunday, but what a special thing once a year to have a time to celebrate our Savior's resurrection. Hey, if you're distracted, would you not raise your hand? Okay, all right. So that means everybody but two people are distracted right now. Some of you looked at me like I said that wrong. I actually said it exactly the way I meant to. Listen, everybody, it's been a busy day. A lot of you have been running around just like I have, came in the parking lot on two wheels, and all the kids are acting like they already ate a bunch of candy. They're all juiced up and excited. And all the adults are like, let's just get this over with. There's too many people in here. And listen, I just want to plead with you for just a few minutes. We're going to look into the Word of God. And we're going to learn about something that's incredibly important. As a matter of fact, it's the most valuable piece of information that you'll ever learn about in the universe. It's true. And so please give me your attention for just a little bit, okay? Can you do that? This means yes. Can you do that? Give me your attention for just a little bit. Good job back there on the back. Look at that. They're ready. All right. Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 44. In Matthew chapter 13, we find Jesus giving parables about the kingdom of God. And we understand that the kingdom, I want to give you, you need to understand this. So you guys listen. You got to think for a second. The kingdom, the word in the Greek means the rule and reign. So when we're talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, it's the rule and reign of God. Now, the Bible tells us about it in a lot of different ways. Generally, it tells us about it, and specifically, it tells us about it. And this is so much fun. It gives us some details. Listen, everything in the universe is under God's control because he's Almighty God, creator of all things. Everybody with me? Everything's under his rule and reign, generally speaking. But then the Bible tells us that just because you're under the authority, sovereign authority of God, doesn't mean you're part of his kingdom in the sense that God rules and reigns over you, but it doesn't mean that you're part of his kingdom. It doesn't mean that you are a citizen of heaven, okay? Now, to be a citizen of heaven, to be a part of that kingdom, requires being born again. And so Jesus gives us some general parables, but then he gives us some very personal parables about the kingdom to help us understand about the kingdom of God and heaven. And so that's exactly what we see here, verses 44, 45, and 46. Look at it. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help to eliminate the distractions right now, that you would help us to focus on you and on your word. And I pray for everyone here that's of that age of accountability, that they understand if they died today, that they would end up in hell, that you would convict their heart in a great way tonight, that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would just turn away from their sin to you. And tonight they would trust with all their heart in Jesus. Lord, that you would open their eyes to see the gospel. They open their ears to hear and understand and help us all to trust in you tonight. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for lives to be changed, for all of us to answer your call and the moving of your spirit tonight. Please help me from nothing without you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you about the kingdom of God. I told you Jesus is giving these parables and he gives them in pairs. He gives a couple of parables that reveal a specific truth about the kingdom. And here we have the same thing. Two parables with one meaning. That's nothing new. We see God doing that a lot. You remember Pharaoh's dream? It had two different dreams, but the meaning was the same. And Jesus does the same thing here. We have two parables with the same meaning. And this is the basics of it right here. When you find the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is telling us that what you need to do is let go of everything else and grab a hold of Jesus. There are people in this world that are searching for treasure. People in this world that are searching for meaning. They're searching for peace. They're searching for joy. They're trying to find happiness. They're trying to make their life better. And people do that by working. People do that by religion. People do that by stealing. People do that by committing all kinds of sin. They're trying to find this joy, this satisfaction. They're trying to find some treasure that will make everything right in their life. And Jesus is telling us that his kingdom, that entering into his kingdom, that being born again is the answer to all of that that mankind is seeking. Joy, real joy, can only be found in Christ. The treasure that he offers is a treasure that's beyond compare. And so we have him giving us this parable. And he tells us that the kingdom of heaven is precious. It's like a treasure or a pearl of great price. Now, there's a man named Forrest Finn who hid a treasure somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. He left clues to it. People are still searching for it. Hundreds of thousands are looking for this treasure. It's supposed to be worth millions of dollars. Now, let me ask you this. If you knew where a treasure worth millions of dollars were, would you go look for it? Yeah, who wouldn't want to find treasure? I told you before, not far from here, just in between here and where we go to church camp, in the mountains down there, there's supposedly a Confederate treasure that's hid there. Supposedly has all kinds of Confederate gold, and people have been looking for it. Rumors have gone around about it for a hundred years or more. And listen, the idea of finding treasure worth millions of dollars is very exciting to me. But we have a man who is in a field, and we don't know what he's doing in that field. Maybe he's plowing the field. Maybe he's just walking by and he knows something. But he finds this treasure that's hidden there, and it's so valuable that he doesn't. But listen, he doesn't steal the treasure and hide it and carry it with him. He puts it back where he found it. He hides it. He goes and sells everything that he owns. He sells his house. He sells his lands. He sells his flocks and herds, whatever the man might have. He lets go of everything that he has so he can buy that field and so that he can take that treasure. That must be pretty valuable. I mean, can you imagine that? It just makes me sick to my stomach thinking about it. Or Tom, sell my house, sell my cars, sell everything that I have. I mean, just get rid of everything, have nothing but the clothes on your back so that you can buy this. And that's exactly what this man does. There's a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Historians tell us that in those days, pearls were the most valuable gem that you could have. Today, what's the most valuable gem that people are always after? A diamond. That's right. Diamonds today is what everybody's after, right? And all of these young ladies want a young man someday to come along and buy them a big diamond to put on their finger, right? No? Yeah, they do. Yeah, so diamonds is it for us today. But in Bible times, in Jesus' day, pearls were that. Pearls were the most valuable thing, and it was a sign of great value. This merchant goes and tries to find this treasure. Now listen, to find pearls in that day, it's not like it is today with scuba gear and all kinds of equipment, and now they just grow the oysters in factories or in like hatcheries, like fish hatcheries. So it wasn't like that in that day. Check this out. To find pearls back in that day, guys would get in a boat. They would go out in a little bit into the water where the reef was. They would tie a rock to a rope. They would tie the rope around themselves, and they would jump out of the boat. Sound like fun? Yeah. So they would take, no. They would take a deep breath. They would throw the rock in and go in after it. They would let the rock pull them to the bottom, where they, with one breath, would search around and gather up all of the clams that they could, all of the oysters that they could, and they would gather them all up on one breath, and then they would have to untie or cut the rope and go back up to the surface, hopefully, you know, before they died. And drowned. Drowned and died. That's right. Listen, it was a very dangerous thing, but it was a very profitable thing, because when you had pearls, you had the most expensive, the most valuable thing there was in that day. And so they would risk their lives to do this. This merchantman was in the business of finding pearls and selling pearls, and that's what he did for a living. But one day, he comes across a pearl that is unlike any pearl he's ever seen before. He says this one pearl was of great price. As a matter of fact, it was so valuable. It was so valuable that the Bible says, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold, look, all that he had and bought it. All of his lands, all of his houses, all of his pearls, everything that he had, he got rid of all of it so that he could have that one pearl. The most valuable pearl on the planet today, they estimate that it's worth over $139 million.
Million?
It's about this big. It took them 3 years to shape it and polish it. It's green, it's really pretty, and it's worth over $139 million. I have no idea what this pearl was, what it was like, the one that he found, but it was so valuable to him, he sold everything that he had. Here's what I want you to get. When these men found these treasures, they were willing to let go of everything to get that treasure. Jesus is teaching us that this is what the gospel is. This is what entering into his kingdom is. Most of you have been to this church enough that you've heard the gospel. Most of you have heard enough to know that we're all sinners. Every one of us, we've sinned against the holy God. We've done wrong. Most of you have been here enough to know the truth from the Bible that even though we're sinners, Christ loved us so much that he died for us. And the scriptures tell us that if we would simply look to Jesus, that we would trust in him and what he did for us on the cross, that he would forgive us, that he would save us, that he would give us eternal life. And what I'm praying tonight is that some of you, that God would open your eyes and you would see the truth. You see, you've heard it over and over and over, but for some of you, it hasn't clicked yet. Brother Dean, how many times do you figure you heard the gospel before you were saved? Quite a few. Yeah. Dean was in this church probably in the womb. He's been in here and he heard the gospel over and over, but listen to me. You can hear it over and over, but one of these days, God's Holy Spirit's going to do something in your heart and it's going to click. And it's not just going to be, well, yeah, I know I do bad stuff, but you are going to feel the weight of your sin. You're going to feel the burden of your sin, and you're going to understand that Jesus suffered and died to pay for your sin. Not just other people, but me. I put him on the cross. He suffered for me. And you're going to understand that the only way you can get to heaven is by trusting in Jesus. And you're going to have to come to a decision. Both of these men, it was a personal decision that they had to make. The Bible says, amen. These individuals had to make a decision. Am I going to just stick with what I've got? Keep looking for pearls? Stick with what I've got? Or am I going to let go of everything and grab a hold of this treasure, this one pearl? And listen to me. When they saw the value of the treasure they had found, there was no question for them. And when I was 14 years old, when I really understood the gospel, there was no question. If I hold on to everything I have, I'm going to end up in hell forever. But I can let go of who I am. I can let go of my own righteousness, my own goodness, my religiosity. I can let go of my sin. I can let go of everything that I am, everything I've ever done. I can let go of all of that, and I can grab hold of Jesus. And what I'm telling you tonight, friends, is that's what all of us need to do. We need to let go. It's a personal decision. This kingdom is precious. It's beyond value. It's priceless, but it's also personal. You've got to make up your mind. And Paul in Philippians 3, you don't have to turn there, but listen, Paul said, if you had any reason to brag, I've got a lot of reason to brag. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I kept the law. I was everything that I needed to be. But he says, all that I am, all that I've ever done, he says, I count it but dung. I count it but refuse that I might win Christ. He said, I let go of everything to grab a hold of him, to know him, and to take part in his resurrection. And what I'm going to tell you tonight, friends, is this. We're all going to die one day. You can go through this life looking for treasures. You go through this life looking for goodly pearls, for something that's going to satisfy you, something that's going to give you peace and joy. And I promise you, you will never, ever, ever find anything that will give you real joy except for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get some temporary happiness, but you will not find real joy. I want to tell you, you can find some things. You can do things to make you feel better about yourself. You can do good works to kind of appease your conscience and kind of make you feel better. But listen, there is no amount of good works that you can ever do to pay for your sin. But there's one who died to pay for your sin. And if you'll trust in him, he'll give you everlasting life. I'm just pleading with you tonight to let go of everything and grab a hold of Jesus. See, I know this. If the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart tonight, you know. You know you need to be saved. You know Jesus is the only way. And all I want to plead with you right now, we're going to stand and our musicians are going to come. I just want to plead with you tonight that if you know you need to be born again, you can come talk to me. You go talk to your Wednesday night teacher, your Sunday school teacher, but come find one of us and just let us know. I need to be saved. I want to talk to you about being saved. I'm not sure what to do about being saved. We want to help you from the scriptures know how you can have eternal life. If you're saved and you know you're saved, but you've never been baptized, you need to take that step. You need to keep going with Christ. Follow him. And if he's convicting your heart tonight, will you let go of everything and grab hold of Jesus?